Hi, I'm here with Mary Beth Smith. You know her if you listen to MBSing with Mary Beth Smith, which is a good show, or if you come to our shows because she's there a lot. She's really cool. She's also in the Nerdalogs, you idiot. Who do you think she is? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so mean to you. I love you guys. So Mary Beth, as many people did, nominated James D'Amato's story that is not and is about tables. And Mary Beth had some very high praise for it. She said it was possibly for her greatest of all time, your story. So Mary Beth, can you explain that, please?
Yeah, I mean, James's table story is definitely up there as one of my goats. In re-listening to it, and I've probably listened to his story both in person and recorded probably at least 4 or 5 times now. I can hear myself laughing in the audience, and I still laugh at the same places, which I think is a huge sign of how much I enjoyed it. But it was just this – I've always been really interested in – people who are in like romantic relationships, but also creative relationships with one another. And I think, those aspects of James's story are really important to me, in the sense that a lot of the ways that he talks about his relationship with Kat, he talks about how much he loved how they would create together. And I just thought that was really, sweet and poignant. And the way that he described, their relationship and friendship was so amazing, and all the like symbolism that he, you know, didn't create, it's there in his story. And I also think it meant a lot to me, because I think just the month before that, if not pretty shortly before that, I told a story about how I had never been in love. And then hearing James's story and thinking back on my own and kind of like contrasting them was so, I mean, like, I cried, man. I was sitting there crying, and like, I think right in front of him as he told the story, I love it so much.
So 2 months ago, I paid $1,200 for a table. Now, a lot of you are probably thinking that is crazy to spend $1,200 on a table. Don't worry. That was the deposit. The table is $4,000. The Geek Chic Emissary comes in your choice of cherry, maple, or walnut. It is totally bespoke, and it's customized to your nerdy lifestyle. I know many people have drooled over that on the internet. This is the Lamborghini of gaming tables. If you play Dungeons & Dragons on this thing, the dragon will actually hop out of the game and pour you a scotch. And you know, as much as I wish, I am not the type of person who can just, you know, spend $4,000 on a table. I don't have that money. It took years and years of careful saving and, you know, not spending too much to earn that. But that's why I'm surprised to be standing in front of you as the owner of a Geek Chic Emissary, or future owner, because that money was supposed to be an engagement ring. Yeah, there's the theme. This is not a story about fancy tables. I apologize to all the fans of fancy tables in the audience. So I didn't always play role-playing games. I run a podcast called One Shot, which is all about role-playing games, and it's actually kind of my career path now. But, you know, I wasn't a fan of these games my entire life. I actually got into them in college for one reason, and her name is Kat Murphy. Kat is one of the most beautiful people that I have ever seen in my life. And I was instantly attracted to her. And she was signing up for the newbie game of D&D when, you know, our freshman year in college. So I begged my friend to drop his spot so that I could get in on that game. And, you know, after a couple of months of talking about, you know, dumb games and superheroes and cartoons, she accidentally became the best friend that I have ever had. And this wasn't a best friendship as I'm used to thinking of it. Sure, we both like cartoons and Magic the Gathering, but it was more than that. Before Kat, I have never been closer to another human being. Everything that I loved about my past was reaffirmed by her, and everything I discovered that I loved, I shared with her. And the proudest work, the work that I'm proudest of in my life, was a collaboration with her. So, we were tied closer together than I have ever been tied to another person in the world. And that friendship was so important to us, so fundamental to who we had become as people, that we were both terrified at the thought of losing it, obviously because we were afraid of falling in love. Like any good opposite gender friends, we would laugh off the idea when people brought it up to us, but it sort of hung in the air like a guillotine. A relationship between us was a real possibility, and it would have real consequences. If things failed, we risked damaging that friendship that was so important to us. And almost as terrifying, if things succeeded, that would probably be it. We would be in our 20s and dating the person that we were going to marry. So, like any responsible adults in that situation, we ignored it as much as possible. And that did not work. Our senior year, we kissed, and then we moved to Chicago together after we graduated. Now, if anybody here is thinking about moving in with their significant other, especially in light of the personal tragedy that is obviously coming at the end of the story, my advice is this. Stop worrying and do it. Because, like, living with your significant other and the person that you love is the best. Every night is like the greatest sleepover that you've ever been to. And honestly, I wish I had more mature terms to put that in. But I am a grown man who watches cartoons every day. So I am working with limited resources here. While we lived together, Kat and I dreamt up some of the best ideas either of us have ever had. And during the day, we were just like everyone else our age. We were working jobs we hated to get by on very little. But at home, at night, we were geniuses. We were artists creating the kind of worlds that I wanted to see and writing the kind of stories that I wanted to read. I wanted that feeling and that person forever. One day I came home and she was sad. And like every other time when she was sad, I asked her to tell me what was wrong. And I told her that she would feel better when she told me. And I told her that we could handle it together. But this time the problem wasn't work or money or family. It was us. And heartbreak sucks. But the biggest thing that we were both worried about was losing that friendship. And then I forgot what I was supposed to say. We totally ignored conventional wisdom, and we fought to stay friends. We even helped each other look for apartments after we broke up. We stayed in the same game of D&D, and we talked basically every day. And it hurt so bad to be so close to her and not be with her. But together, we saved that friendship. And as things normalized, I held out a little hope that maybe she just needed time to grow and that maybe we both needed time to grow and we could still be together someday. But then John came along. And in addition to possessing innumerable physical and character flaws, the apex of which is that he is wrong about Batman. John is actually a kind and wonderful person who loves my best friend very much. And this on Christmas Eve this year, when I got a call from Kat, I knew what was happening when the phone rang. Once, after a week without contact, Kat and I called each other to have a conversation about a new idea for a Zelda game we had thought up. And despite being separated by time and distance, we had the same idea at the same time. It was very exciting, and this call was exactly like that, except she said, "I'm engaged." And in that moment, all my hopes and illusions fell apart. The romantic portion of our lives together was over. Really over. And what I thought was the answer turned out to be not the answer. I cannot spend every day with my best friend. One day, maybe one day soon, our lives will change and go in very different directions. She could move, I could move. We might go days or weeks or even months without speaking. And if I want love, if I want a partner, a family, I need to start over with someone else. Somehow I have to find that powerful, amazing connection with another person. And when I was contemplating the possibility of dying alone, she said to me, "Will you be my maid of honor?" And I realized that all those feelings of loss and loneliness, as bad as they are only temporary. Despite the significance of that moment and the profound pain that I was experiencing, I was not dead. Years from now, when I look back on this time, I'm going to remember being there for the most important friend that I have ever had. Pain is fleeting, but the joy that you get from the people who are truly and deeply important to you, that's going to last you until you die. So I took the money that was going to start our lives together, and I bought a table, because I am actually really bad with money. But like our friendship, that table is unique and precious. It will be the foundation of countless imaginary worlds, and if treated with respect and care, it will be with me for the rest of my life. And as scars go, that is not a bad one to have. Thank you.